What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, eh?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
I just made an interesting observation about myself, my recent habits. That I've been talking to Bulldog about here for the last 5 minutes. Everything I'm reading and watching is like murder related. It's either real life crime stories or it's only murders in the building, which is kind of a spoof, but still like the word murder's literally in the title.
Right.
I'm watching this Traitors now on Peacock, which is like a reality show where people get killed, but not for real, just like they get killed off the show, basically.
Okay.
I don't know. If anybody's watching me, it could be, I might need to spend a week watching The Office or something.
Yeah, right.
Just to offset.
Just get,
I have no violent tendencies at all.
Yeah.
But everything I'm consuming is like dark, Civil War.
Yeah, wow.
JFK. I don't know. Somebody's got to, please help me. That's what I'm saying right now. Anybody could suggest something light. What happened to Chopped? We used to watch Chopped.
It does feel like this is a time of the year where you could fall into that. Sort of like how I only listen to Radiohead in the fall and winter. Like, it's dark. It's a dark time.
Chopped, by the way, is not a good idea. It's actually called Chopped. Maybe that's not even going to fix this.
Yeah, maybe not.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline, Bills and Ravens on Sunday. Sal, I don't know... But you often do interviews like around the country, visiting team stuff, whatever. I was on in Baltimore today, Kansas City tomorrow. Are you, if you are, or even if you're just listening to or what, you know, reading the back and forth, is there like a certain feature about this game, an angle is a better word, an angle about this game that you're finding yourself talking about the most that might not be like obvious or anything like that? Today, going on in Baltimore, it was how I like that they sort of knew this, that the Bills were down key players on their defense in the first meeting and how that, I'm like, they should be asking Sal this question, not me, because like the tactics there. I don't know, anything like this that's sort of coming up in your conversations or what you're reading like the most?
Yeah, first of all, I will tell you that I've done 2 Baltimore spots this week. I have another one scheduled for tomorrow. Portland radio I was on this morning, actually Portland, Oregon, they reached out. Had to decline our guys in Edmonton, guys. You know, we've all done a little bit of Edmonton here and there, you know what I mean? Had to decline them, and I think Toronto a couple spots this week. There's been a big week for out-of-market radio, you know, reaching out. It just, you know, that's the nature of the beast, and, you know, when you're this time, I think in Boston, Adam Kaufman, he has me on in Boston. Sometimes I was on with him earlier this week. That's more of a betting show, too. I would say that you're right, that has happened, but more towards the end of the week. I think the reason why people are asking that question from the Baltimore angle is because we keep bringing it up, to be honest with you,
right.
Which is like, they early in the week, I was not asked about like that. It was more me saying, well, I guess it was, hey, what's changed about the Bills since week 4? I'm like, well, they didn't have these 3 guys. Oh, and then later in the week, it's become more of a talking point from the Ravens side of how, okay, well, we know the Bills people are saying this about, you know, their team. I would say the biggest thing I get asked is like how confident are the Bills to be able to stop this Ravens offense since they weren't able to do it last time? Like, that's really like what's the feeling around the Bills and around the team? It feels to me like Baltimore media is kind of saying, well, they got, which is true, they got handed it to them last time. They have to be feeling like, oh my God, here we go again. Are they feeling any different this time around? That's that's kind of been the tenor to me.
And that has produced, it feels to me like the way a lot of us sound, I include, you know, hosts in this too, but a lot, I feel like Derrick Henry is like becoming Paul Bunyan or something as this game is approaching. Like he's actually 6'8" and 360 pounds, and like you just never seen anything like him. And like I'm over here going like, yeah, I recognize it. All right, I'll shut up about running backs don't matter, but I still want to raise my hand and go, he's still a running. It's just a running back. Like I'm more worried about Lamar Jackson in this game than I am Derrick Henry, honestly.
So worried about is a really interesting way to put it. Jeremy put a really good poll up yesterday about this, and I saw the responses. Most voted, you know, Derrick Henry. So the way I put it is, I don't know, worried is that here, I think you have to stop Derrick Henry first. That's what I think. Because I think that at least then you have a chance to make the game one-dimensional. Then you can control the game on your terms a little bit more. It is not because Lamar Jackson isn't so dynamic as Derrick Henry. He is. He's phenomenal. He can do more than Derrick Henry, of course. He can run. He can throw. If you stop Lamar Jackson, you can still hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, of course. I mean, I guess maybe I'm talking in circles here, but the way I look at it is, if the Baltimore Ravens just get to a point in the game where they go, hey, we just can't really run the ball with Derrick Henry, I just think that plays well more into the Buffalo Bills' hands than if you say we have to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson first, because I think if you don't stop Derrick Henry, it could be a long day from the get-go.
Well, if you don't stop Derrick Henry, what you may end up doing is playing a lot of the game, a lot more of the game than you'd like to, without one of your best defenders on the field. Right? Because if Henry's getting off on them from the start, then, you know, you're going to be tempted either, if you haven't started with Dorian Williams on the field, you're going to want to get him out there sooner than you would have. If he starts, you might, you know, maybe it's not working, you'll just say, forget it, let's just go back to our regular defense. No one knows what they're doing or something. I don't know. But that to me is a key piece of the puzzle here too. Like getting them to throw, to feel like they need to throw, would work for the Bills because it would allow them back into their comfort zone. I think like Taron Johnson on the field,
right?
And here we go. Let's just play like we normally play.
This is it's the Taron Johnson conundrum, right? It's what it is, and we all know that. Here's what I think though. I think the Buffalo Bills, you know, Taron Johnson is so good, and it's not like they haven't played big running backs and bigger teams without Taron Johnson before. He's done that, and we all know that it's a size advantage for the Baltimore Ravens. My prediction is when the Ravens get the ball in their first possession and it's first and 10 at the 30-yard line, you're going to see Taron Johnson on the field. Now, unless they say we're just going with all big people and no wide receivers, right? That might change a little bit because the Bills have to counter with that. But I think you're going to see Taron Johnson. I think you'll see Taron Johnson on the field until the Bills say, we got to move away from Taron Johnson. They would love to play this game in nickel and still play the game the way they want to play it. There could be other things that they do. They don't, you know, I've been thinking about this today. We've been so focused on the Taron Johnson conundrum, and rightly so. And I do think it is something the Bills will have to make adjustments for, and they'll probably play a little bit more base defense than they normally do in certain situations. But there are other things the Bills can do with their defensive line. They can get bigger on the defensive line. They have certain bodies they can put next to each other. You know, Ed Oliver's an undersized guy, right? You have guys that you can put on the field a little bit differently. You can run blitzes. There are ways to do things other than you can bring a safety down a little bit. You can do it by population, not just by size. And I think maybe we're losing a little bit of sight of that.
How different, really? I mean, obviously, when you get granular, it's different. But if you flip to the Bills having the ball, this is one thing I brought up in my conversation with the Baltimore guys today, is the Bills are playing big, too. And, Sal, you've talked a lot about how not only Alec Anderson being on the field so often, relatively speaking, is an example of that, but how the Bills throw out of that. And I don't know, like, what do you say if we're having this conversation on the other side? Well, Josh Allen, but Cook, and then can they beat me with their receivers or their tight ends? That's where it gets kind of the same, I think, the Bills and the Ravens, when you've got two tight ends who are interesting and, you know, names, at receiver, but not like, especially no Flowers, if that's what we get. Nothing too obvious there. So are there shades of this kind of discussion we're having about how the Bills defense should play or what to expect in what will happen when the Bills have the ball?
No doubt. I think the Bills would love to do it the way they did it last week. I mean, they ran for 210 yards last week. And again, that's that word control. I like to say they controlled the game. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They kind of dictated everything that happened. The Broncos had to respond by what the Bills were doing because they just didn't have. And you heard even after the game, Broncos players, maybe Benito or someone had said basically like, well, when you don't get them in passing situations, you can't do what you do best, which is go rush the passer, you know, whatever, in some form that he said that. And that's what the Bills would love to do. If they can just make sure they can establish the line of scrimmage and, you know, run the football. I heard your caller earlier who called up, was a very good call. And he said, we've heard McDermott talk about establish the run. And yeah, maybe he's used those terms. What he really talks about is establishing the line of scrimmage is what he talks about. That doesn't have to be done just by running the football. Sean McDermott wants them to establish the line of scrimmage and win there. And that can be done by throwing the football. And we've seen here, you know, that Josh Allen has had one of his most prolific seasons in the NFL with how little he's turned the ball over and still putting up the numbers he's put up. And they're still using him to run the ball and things like that. So, yes, I do feel that way. And I also think that, back to your point of Mike about personnel usage, I just think Joe Brady has done a really, really good job here this year of putting certain personnel on the field to force you to have to counter that and then say, okay, now we can kind of do a whole bunch of different things out of this. If I put Alec Anderson on the field, you have to counter with bigger people. Well, guess what? You're going to counter with bigger people. I'm going to throw it to my smaller, faster guys because the bigger people are covering them and they can't do it. And that's been the magic of, I think, the Bills' 30-point-per-game offense this year.
All those hours, 10,000 hours of who is the key man after Josh Allen in this offense. All those received. Claypool, we had a dalliance there with him. MVS. It turns out Alec Anderson was the key man.
That's right. That's
who would have known? It makes me feel a little better for not knowing. Like it wasn't someone else that like you could have guessed. You know, like Samuel or somebody like that. Although we do like Samuel right now. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. What's new with injuries?
Nothing new at all for either team. It's the exact same as yesterday. Ray Davis practiced today in a limited capacity. He was wearing a red non-contact jersey as well as a Guardian cap on his helmet. Alec Anderson, the aforementioned Alec Anderson, practiced in a limited capacity with his calf injury. Everybody else practiced in full. And for the Baltimore Ravens, second day in a row, Zay Flowers did not practice. I think that is very, very much leaning towards he will not play on Sunday.
Yeah, I know Harbaugh led off the week saying he doesn't need to practice at all to play on Sunday, but and I don't think they'll rule him out definitively before Sunday because Harbaugh was already talking like that, but I'm with you. I'm not expecting him to play. If we're correct in guessing that he won't play, how big a deal is it? Is it enough of a big deal that the Bills could feel more compelled to play more man? They've mixed in more man than maybe years past here down the stretch, but would playing more man against Baltimore without their best receiver sound like a good idea to you?
I would be careful of that because of the Lamar factor, the way we talk about Josh as well. Lamar right. takes off, you're in man-to-man, that really hurts. You know, you need your corners to be able to kind of see what's happening, to be able to come up and attack him. I wouldn't doubt in certain long yardage situations, you might want to do something like that as though. You don't have that one guy there, and maybe you can kind of, you know, force them to kind of have to get rid of the ball a little bit sooner if you play man-to-man and bring some pressure. If it's a long yardage situation, then they have to get it to somebody other than Zay Flowers, and then he has to make somebody miss, right? That's kind of what he does. When Zay Flowers on the field, they throw it to him on, you know, third and eight, and he catches it 3 yards. He can get the extra 5 yards on his own. So maybe in those situations that would happen. I do wonder how much that does impact Taron Johnson's usage, because like we said earlier this week, if Zay Flowers is off the field, it might not be another wide receiver. It might not be Tylan Wallace. I'm sure he'll play a little bit. It might not be Steven Sims. It might be more Isaiah Likely. Now you're getting into two tight end sets, and now how do the Bills counter with that?
Back to, I'm looking at a report from Pro Football Network, the Ravens, or the Bills on defense. Mm-hmm. The Bills gave up this was kind of a theme this year in our conversations. Like, if you really break down some of the stats, not as bad as it sounds in terms of rush defense. But when you have two running backs on the field, and I don't know how often that would have been where the Bills faced formations with two running backs on the field. This is not Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Ricard, the fullback, mm-hmm. and Henry, or Justice Hill, whoever. The Bills gave up the worst yards per carry in the league when facing formations with two running backs, 5.8, and were pretty low in success rate. That would stand to reason. So that's coming, right? I mean,
yes.
Whatever discipline the Bills can have and how they sort of man up against the Ravens, this is going to be a lot of that. So one specific way to prepare here and see what you can handle.
And Flowers being out plays into that probably too. Like without him, I could see them going two tight ends or a fullback on the field almost all the time.
All the time.
Right. One or the other, I mean.
Both.
Yeah, or both, sure.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, Justice Hill's a good player, and he can do a lot for them if that's the guy they're going to put on there as well, right? So, yeah, I would expect to see, you know, Ricard. Yeah, he's a really big guy, and you know they want to go. They get to short yardage. It's very tough to defend him. That might be the key guy. You know, you'll have some really interesting ways to kind of see right away. Like if you see Ricard come on the field and the Bills send Dorian Williams out or something like that, that'll be a tell right away of exactly what the Bills want to do here, right? If you see an extra offensive lineman, like the Bills will hold their guys, and as soon as you see the cards go up and what the personnel is, you see those yellow cards in the sideline that someone holds up, you see someone run on the field, and then you'll see the Bills match personnel. I'm interested to see early on like how the Bills do that. Doesn't mean he can't change if things are going a certain way, but yeah, I definitely think you'll see some of that.
I want to ask you a question about another point that a caller brought up earlier, but to get to that, Allen and Jackson this year throwing to the perimeter, not over the middle, not to the slot receiver. Jackson 1, Allen 2 in both yards per attempt and expected points added per play on passes to the perimeter. So you have the two best quarterbacks in the league at that this year. A caller brought up Kincaid earlier, Sal, and that's been a cottage industry in here for the last couple of years is, you know, Kincaid and what's the ceiling? When is it coming? Sneaky Joe texted me to say that the Bills have had 9 different players lead the team in receiving yards for a game this year. He is not one of them.
Wow.
Shavers is. Ty Johnson is.
Shavers.
Knox is.
That's amazing.
But Kincaid is not one of the 9. Do you think there's life in Kincaid? I hate to be redundant with a question like that, but we still have not really had a big game from him.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think that, like, based on the way this offense has gone and based on the targets he's had and the numbers, I don't expect, you know, so much different. I mean, that would have to come from, you know, some real favorable matchup that they see and say, okay. But I will tell you guys that, I mean, like, you know, talking with Baltimore media on some of those spots that I've done, you know, they've said Roquan Smith has not been the best in coverage this year, right? So maybe you get a linebacker, you get a tight end, Kincaid matched up on him. That might be a running back, though. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably be careful of thinking, like, he would be the guy that would lead the team. But all it takes is one or two catches. See Tyrell Shavers, right? I mean, that's really all it takes
right.
for one guy to lead the team in receiving yards. I think a lot of that perimeter stats, I'd like to see, I don't know, I'd have to see how much is some of those tunnel screens, right? Do those count as perimeter? Like, the Bills do that a ton. That would have to count as a perimeter pass to me, even though it's behind the line of scrimmage, right? So I think there's a lot of nuance that's got to kind of be baked into a lot of that.
Yeah. How much, if at all, are you thinking about the weather and the forecast and how cold it's going to be? I normally don't get too far into it, but... Well, a couple of things are happening for me. One, the fact that the Bills played that perfect game against New England 3 years ago in the wild card round in almost exactly what the forecast sounds like type conditions. So I feel like some confidence that Allen and the Bills, whatever they got to do in this game, whether it's through the air or running, that they've acclimated, they'll be fine. And, you know, Baltimore, yeah, they're not from Miami, but Jackson's never played below 27 degrees at kickoff. Henry, I think, is similar. And so, I don't know, I feel like I want to talk myself into that being an advantage for Buffalo.
But Lamar Jackson actually is from Miami, isn't he?
Sure.
No, I know what you meant, though. I mean, these guys have players on their roster from all over. They play different colleges. They grew up in different places down south, you know, warmer weather. But, okay, so I think about it for three different reasons. We'll start small picture and go big picture. Smaller picture, I think about it for me. How am I going to dress?
Right.
Do I need to put bags on my, on my feet before I put them in my boots? You know, how am I going to make sure that I remember that that game against the Patriots? And supposedly this will be about as cold. So that's number one. Number two, the Bills practiced inside today. The Ravens practiced inside. And apparently what they did was they opened all the doors. And they blew fans in to make it as cold as possible because their field is frozen over. They can't practice out there. I posted some video of the Bills practicing today. And there are several Bills fans asking me, why don't they practice outside? This game's going to be outside. Well, the answer is because you can't get anything done in conditions like that when you practice as well. I mean, have you been outside lately? Like, yeah, it's great. Like, you want to get guys prepared. Are we not to a point after 7 years here of Josh Allen to know that they can play when it's cold out? I mean, what are we doing, right? You practice inside because you're trying to practice. You're trying to get things done.
Right.
I mean, that's why you do it. You know what would happen if they practice outside today? The ball would be on the ground 20 times. Ooh, that's benefiting nobody, right? Let's do fumble drills all day. That's what you could do. Anyway, I digress. That's one thing I needed to say. I do think about it from a Baltimore standpoint of I really do.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You think there is a lot of questions that maybe get answered right away and there's no big deal about how the Ravens will play in these conditions because these guys have not. And I'm listening to an interview yesterday, and I'm hearing Lamar Jackson 2 days ago say about how are you going to handle Lamar? And he's like, yeah, you know, the heater on the sidelines and staying warm. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he's obviously that's natural, but he's thinking about it. They're talking to him about gloves. I'm not going to wear a glove. I tried that in practice. I think it's got to be in there somewhere. Mentally, you're thinking of how am I going to be prepared for this versus maybe where Josh Allen's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I've done this many times.
This is exactly, right? I'm sorry, Sal. This is exactly where we were 4 years ago. He was talking at the press conference about how he'd never seen snow or something.
That's right. Well,
in that game, by the way, they scored the fewest points they've ever scored in any start by Lamar Jackson, regular or postseason. And then today, by the way, I heard an interview with the Ravens special teams coordinator, and he was asked about field conditions. And his answer was, well, when we get out there in pregame, we'll see what the field conditions are like and where what the wind is like and what our spots are. And, you know, it'll be a heated field. No, it won't. Like, you don't know that? Or did you not, like that? That kind of surprised me that he didn't know that. You know what I mean? Like, so I am thinking that this is something that's going to maybe come into play in some way.
Oh, if I'm the Bills, if I've got a tarp and I have the option to leave it off starting last Tuesday, I'm leaving it off.
Classic move.
I'm hosing the field down so it freezes overnight.
The Steelers at Three Rivers.
Right.
Hosing the field. Just soaking a frozen field in the Houston game, the AFC Championship.
Can I do anything really awful to their sideline? Like, I'm going to mess with everything I can mess with, I think.
Well, do you remember, I think you guys might know, I guess, allegedly, I don't know this for sure, Cleveland, back in the day, they used to slope the third base side, the line down a little bit when the Yankees came in because Phil Rizzuto was such a great bunter that if he bunted, it would literally go downhill to the third baseman.
I respect it. Sal, thank you. What do we decide, 5:30 tomorrow?
I think that's what it is, yeah. No problem, guys.
Talk to you then.
You got it.
All right, it's Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Good stuff from this Pro Football Network, excuse me. The most wins in a span of seven seasons in the Super Bowl era.
Mm-hmm. I know what this is.
Without reaching a Super Bowl, the Bills are one, the Ravens are two.
Right.
And the loser, of course, is guaranteed to, like,
continue.
Lock that in.
Right.
Including, well, actually, what? Never mind. if the Ravens win the game, but they lose next week, the Bills would still have the most, and neither will have made it. The loser of this game, historic proportions, is how it's put here. Historic downside. Oof. We know, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only the Chiefs have won more games since Allen and Jackson were drafted than the Bills and the Ravens. Bills 83, Ravens 81. 803-0550 for your thoughts on Sunday night. How do the Bills get this done? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hopefully very loud when they're on offense and second and third down and making it hard for them. But just the energy, the juice, the vibes. Our goal is to get to the fourth quarter and have Mr. Brightside be playing. And I know the fans love that, but that gives us such a little shot of energy that, you know, we're going to need going into this game. All
right. Josh Allen, the Bills and the Ravens, Sunday night, 6:30 kick. Bulldog and I will be on after the game. 803-0550. Started today mentioning how I've got family coming up from Florida for the game. They weren't going to, well, they were going to, and then they decided to make sure the Bills would beat Denver before making arrangements. And wouldn't you know it, everything got more expensive once they knew, mm-hmm. once we knew there would be a game, and they still took the plunge. So the kids, I think they're like 14 and 12, have never seen snow. They're about to.
I think so, yeah.
They've never seen snow, which probably means they've never seen 8 degrees. I'm guessing they also haven't seen 8 degrees.
Those two things should probably be coupled together like that.
Can you imagine going through life and, I mean, this is possibly billions of people, but going through life and not like having seen snow until you were an adult?
That it's completely incomprehensible to me. Having grown up here, like I just can't imagine that.
You'd have to have the means. That's what I'm trying to.
Well, right. You know, you have to have a yeah, sure. Because everyone that lives in the South can't travel at will.
Right.
Right. So that can happen. But even still, it's hard to imagine that life, you know, because even like we're not by the ocean, but I've gone to the ocean. I guess, you know, I have the means to do that. So,
yeah, these kids
probably lots of people who live here have never been to the ocean.
They're growing up well. They've been on like 30 cruises.
Oh, wow.
Literally. Like they're a cruise family.
Yeah. Well, then they should have seen snow by now.
On one of those cruises? We went with them to Alaska.
Or take a trip to Wyoming or something. I don't know. Just go where there's snow. Go to Lake Placid for a long weekend. What are you doing?
Come to think of it, we traveled with this family to Alaska 2 summers ago. We're 23. You wanted to know for sure. What year was it, Mike? We went to Alaska. We saw ice floating. We saw glaciers. Isn't that snow? That's not snow. That doesn't count.
It's ice.
It was like 45 degrees or something.
Yeah, no, it's not snow.
I got to think about this now because they've seen that. But, and my son is going to the game. He's in on this plan.
All right. Love it.
Big Texans fan. He's going to see the Bills, the game. He's going to it as a Texan. Well, I mean, hey. He can rep if Houston wins.
Oh, for sure. That'd be something. He'll be the star of the show.
The Houston fan in the stadium on Sunday.
That could work for you.
That could work.
I've got lots of friends who go regularly, and I mean work duty calls. This game feels like the kind of game that I'm not afraid, and I know how to layer up. I got big warm boots. I'll be good. This game is very tempting. To like, anybody got a ticket? You know, just to go see it. You know, be a part. You know, want to be a part of something. Because I have to admit, like it's the comfort of being home or even in here is hard to beat. But man, like thinking about. Fans who were at even that Jet game, like I would have loved to be. I was off that day too.
This year?
The Jet game here, like watching Aaron Rodgers get broken, like it would have been super fun to be at. And you know, any of these other games too. Sure, even Sunday, a blowout win over Denver eventually. But this with Jackson, just the talent on the field to see them in person would be really powerful. I think
I love it. We've been talking about it every minute. I love it too. I don't mean this as a butt to your point, but it's capped by the fact that you have to go to Kansas City next if they win. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very different if Kansas City loses for me. It's capped by that. Like, the goal of the year is to make the Super Bowl and win it. Like, that's what this has been about the whole time. The fact that Aaron Rodgers is back off an Achilles, and whatever else is happening in and around the Bills doesn't, even trading Diggs, like, doesn't really change that. They've won 4 division titles in a row, second round every year, AFC Championship once. That a team with those credentials has no other goal to shoot for than that. Inside, outside. Like, that's it. And this, as big as this is, and as cool as this is, literally and figuratively, you're not there yet.
Kansas City lurking.
Right. Yeah. Like, you're not there yet. Ross was saying, wasn't he?
Whoever wins this game.
The toll that this game takes on the winner.
Right. Could have an impact on next week. Yeah.
And it's one fewer day to recoup, to recover, because Kansas City plays Saturday than the Chiefs. Then, and you have to travel, and they don't.
Mm-hmm. Go Houston.
Go Houston. I mean,
duh, right?
Absolutely. 8.5.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel that. I just think the euphoria don't who said this way? Maybe Nate brought this up and said it this way yesterday, that these three teams, or maybe you the day before, I don't remember, right? But anyway, I'll bet the Bills fans, don't Bills fans think Baltimore's better than Kansas City? I do. I mean, I know that it's Mahomes, and I know I have to go there, but I think if you clear this, I mean, it'll be awfully hard to convince a Bills fan walking out of the stadium that they're not going to. They'll go to Arrowhead and handle the Chiefs. I don't have to be right. I'm just saying, I don't know how much of a damper that will put on anything. Like the euphoria you'll feel, I think, if the Bills beat this excellent Baltimore team, sure, I'll worry about next week when I get there, but it's not going to take anything out of me on Sunday night if I'm there, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
I think it would, sure, I'll worry about that tomorrow. I
from like a pragmatic standpoint, I think I will hate myself for doing it, but I just want to be on Houston. It's just been that kind of year for Kansas City. Like mm-hmm. they've gotten away with so much. Now they have 3.5 weeks off. It's just like, it just feels wrong. All the years where we had the buys, the two buys, and every year, you know, Greg Easterbrook would write a column about how the home teams in the second round never lose, and they always cover, and people get caught up in how good the wild card team looked the week before, but the other team was resting and has home field and forest through the trees kind of stuff. I just feel like Kansas City is so due.
Mm-hmm.
To get beat. It's not their year. It's these two teams, one of these two teams' year. And that doesn't mean they have to beat Houston next week. I'm not going to fall into that trap after we sort of assumed at 13 seconds the winner of that game would beat the Bengals, and that didn't happen.
Bengals went in and beat Kansas City anyway. Yeah.
Right. It just feels so right to me, but I'm not sure I can like live with myself. What, I could just pick them. I don't have to bet money on it or anything, but
sure, yeah.
Are the Texans the right side? Could they be the right side of that game? No.
I see
your face.
I have a very hard time with it. I have a hard time with it. Kansas City to me looks, despite what I just said about Baltimore looking like the better team, the bigger challenge, I guess is how I would put it. Or I meant to put it anyway. I think they've gotten into form, you know. Now we'll see what the layoff does. You know, they could be rusty. I mean, that can happen. they have not been battling for, well, a few weeks now. So, you know, maybe, but I don't know. The idea of them looking vulnerable to losing their first playoff game, almost regardless of who it's against, went away for me around the holidays. Like watching them, well, when they played Houston on that Saturday before Christmas and then the Pittsburgh game on Christmas, they just looked like, oh, yeah, they're kind of back, I think, is how they look to me.
I just don't care, I think.
I really hope.
I don't care.
I really hope Houston can get them. That would be awesome.
Steven is next. Hello.
Hey, good evening, guys. First of all, I wanted to mention this before I get to the game. If you go on YouTube, there's a guy that goes by the name Off the Grid, and he put out a 25-minute contrast and comparison. It's called Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, MVP Paradox. So look that up. He doesn't give a conclusion as to who should be. He leaves that up to the viewers, but it's really good showing the contrast and comparison of the two. Now, that being said, for me, this game on Sunday, first of all, I'm not nervous about it. My confidence in the Bills got up tremendously with what they did to the Broncos this past Sunday. And I knew they could play that kind of game. Now, thing is this. This is going to sound real elementary, but here's the bottom line. Yeah, it's great if the weather has an effect in the favor of the Bills. Of course, the 12th man and the Bills Mafia, home field advantage, all that. But the bottom line is those 22 players for the Bills, offense and defense, what they need to do, and I know they're thinking this way, is determined to go out there and play as flawless of a game as possible, and for the defense to be on that field no more than 20 minutes so they can give Josh and company all the time they need to score. This is what they did against the Broncos.
Good luck, right? I mean, I think almost who would disagree?
You want a 40-20?
Who would disagree?
Advantage. I mean, it was more than that even last week, but that was against rookie Bo Nix and no running back and like no.
Yeah, who's losing an NFL game with the ball for 40 minutes? Yeah. Not often.
The New York Giants almost did in Super Bowl 25, but they
almost
didn't.
Did.
Almost did.
Almost did. Thanks, Steven. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog. Jerry Ostrowski at 6 here on WGR. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog with former Bills lineman Jerry Ostrowski coming up, not to be confused with Joe Ostrowski, who was on earlier. They're not the same person. Is that what you're saying, Mike?
Jerry, not the same person. Jerry doesn't have a W.
No W.
No W in Jerry.
Although, you'd like to have a W. It's a good letter.
Fine. Well, that's Jerry if he misses having a W.
The Bills would like to have a W.
Oh, sure. I
kind of going for something like that.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Did you read Bill Barnwell today?
I did not.
Six ideas for changing the NFL playoff format.
Okay.
And it's a free column at ESPN.com, and how likely he thinks each is. 18 games, say. They get to 18-game seasons. 8 playoff teams, no buys. He didn't think that was particularly likely. Not the 18 games piece, but mm-hmm. the
no buys.
8 playoff teams like hockey and basketball have per conference. Or I guess basketball has 10 now. Right? Those play-in games. Basically like that. He didn't think that was especially likely.
Because there's two facets to that. No buys.
I don't mean the 18 games. I just put that together.
But the eight playoff teams, okay, that would allow you to go back to having two buys, right?
Well, how do you do it?
The way
3 plays 8, 4 plays 7, 5 plays 6. Now I've got 5 teams going through. I don't think you can really do two buys
right.
with it's 8 teams.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I think you have no buys.
Okay.
But again, he didn't think that was like coming necessarily. Rework the seeds so a team with a non-winning record doesn't have to play at home just because they won their division, a tweak like that. Could go not really that important to me, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Use, for the wild card teams, scramble them between conferences. Rank them best to worst by record, including both conferences. So the worst wild card team on either side would play the better two seed, whatever, you know, that would be. Don't need that. And his sixth and final suggestion, pick your opponents. And he wrote, which of course is, this is unanimous.
Mike Schopp has been saying this on the radio for 20 years.
He did say, I don't think I invented this idea. I don't know who did, but I'm sure I didn't. He did say, I'm not the first person to say this. but he said, you know, which is like, I think unanimous again. It's awesome. It'll never happen.
Right. Yeah.
Coaches, like you always say. Right. Coaches would never.
They don't want to. Yeah, they don't want to be put on the spot to say who they think they have a better chance of beating, because everybody's good. They're an excellent team over there. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think the like I get the Women's Pro Hockey League did this last year with their playoffs. Like, you know, that's an upstart thing. You know, coaches of the teams, the organizations don't really have that much of a stage. They're trying to grow the thing. Okay, this will be interesting, exciting. Fans, you know, will plug into it. Okay, great. The NFL doesn't need any of that. The NFL is a money factory, and anything that could make organizations, managers, coaches uncomfortable, they're not going to have to do because they don't need to do it.
They don't need to do it.
We're all going to be there no matter what they do.
The format they have carries with it enough credibility. You know, we have overtime, the rules get tweaked, you know, different things. But I don't think, I guess you could have a losing team, like the Seahawks the 1 year, although they won the game, the beast mode game. You know, teams that really don't look like, they don't look like good teams, but they won a soft division. We complain about that when, you know, they're playing at home or they lose, whatever happens mm-hmm, there. But works well enough. Jerry Ostrowski on Bills Ravens, and whether having to go to Waffle House for 24 hours because you finished last in fantasy football is that bad of an idea. After sports, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.